All right, all right, all right. So I am going to do a Q&A from the comment section. So super excited. One of my first comments here. I encourage you to leave comments on the video because not that every single comment will I be able to do this with, but I definitely want to create as much content as possible that is derived from your questions. That's where I thrive. So I always say, when I hear you, I can help you. So I'm going to dig in here to this comment on a recent post. This is the Why You Procrastinate ADHD, Struggling to Edit Videos. And so Jillian here has a comment. I'm 29 and was diagnosed with ADHD just a year ago. Like everyone, I faced my own battles from dealing with weight issues to overcoming the blame and misunderstanding that often surrounded me. My struggles were often hidden behind a mask, a coping mechanism to deal with the insecurities and traumas, especially those related to my dad. But now I'm on a new path. I'm diving into the world of programming and design, determined to create apps that make a difference. I'm back to studying, and therapy has become a part of my journey towards healing and growth. However, the challenges are real and daunting. Structuring my life, maintaining accountability, and meeting deadlines feels overwhelming at times, and I'm trying to find my footing amidst it all. I'm reaching out because I believe in the power of shared experiences and support. If you have any advice on how to navigate these waters, particularly in managing the demands of learning and creating the tech field while dealing with ADHD, I would be immensely grateful. Your journey inspires me, and any guidance of resources or resources you could share would mean the world to me. So, you know, there's a number of things going on here, and I prefer audio, and so I don't fully have it set up, but very soon I will, and you'll be able to submit audio questions, because for me, I like to listen to people's stream of consciousness with their voice. There's something powerful to the nuance that you hear in the tone of someone's voice versus when they write something and when they edit. So as much as I said, leave comments and I'll make things from this, I'm adapting on the fly as well, because ultimately I will have something where I submit audios because I want to hear that. Because there's little things that I can pick up differently than when somebody's editing and re-editing text. And there's also things that kind of can get lost, like especially those related to my dad. Well, there's something there I'd love to dig into, but for right now, I'll leave out. But here's something that I want to look at. The challenges are real and daunting. Now, granted, I do believe that we need to be honest with how we feel about things. And so the idea that something is real and daunting, that's how you feel right now. But what we want to start to shift, for me, everything is about finding language that empowers rather than disempowers. So we've got to watch using things constantly that will disempower or discourage our mind from moving forward and making progress. Because if everything, life's already difficult enough for us and those of us with ADHD. So if we're constantly looking out into the future as everything is daunting and it's challenging and it's difficult and it's hard and it's heavy, it can be very depressing. Now, that there might be truth to that. It may be challenging, difficult, hard. I get those things. But we want to start to shift our perspective to we're making progress. You know, my wife and I have this mantra. We say we love money and money loves us. And money comes easily and effortlessly into our life. Now, that does not mean we do not work. That does not mean we do not have challenges. That does not mean we do not have difficulties. But rather than, you know, what you focus on is what you tend to get. So when you focus on money is hard to make, money is difficult to get, I have to work so hard, it's so challenging, I can't overcome this, right? When we use that kind of language, imagine for a second that you were wanting an apple tree and you planted watermelon seeds. You wouldn't get an apple tree. You'd get a watermelon, whatever the heck a watermelon is. But you get my drift. So what we've got to realize is every piece of content, every word that we speak is creating seeds in our mind that we plant that will grow. And so what we focus on is what we get. So if we focus more on how hard and challenging and difficult things are versus how I'm getting better and stronger and wiser and things are becoming easier, et cetera, each and every single day, then if we focus on only the negative, we'll tend to get more of that. It doesn't mean ignore it. It doesn't mean deny it. It doesn't mean suppress your feelings. We need to express ourselves whilst then we can observe what we're saying and start to catch it as it's being said and see it differently. So structuring my life, maintaining accountability, meeting deadlines feels overwhelming at times. I'm trying to find my footing amidst it all. So for me, you know, what I would play around with, I don't, and this is where, again, this is why I love to context and details matter. That's why I love to hear people. My coaching is back and forth, and I love to let people express themselves, because the more I know, the more I can help. There's so many question marks at times with things, because I don't know the exact situation, the career path, whatever right now. Because as you're learning this new skill of programming and design, take the pressure off. Like, a lot of times things are self-imposed. Right. So when I used to do wedding videos and same day edits, that was a self-imposed stress that I put on myself to edit something by a particular time at the wedding. Right. So if I wanted to show it to the guests, then I had to have it done by a particular time. If it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm still editing and everybody's gone, then obviously I can't show it to the people. So I had this self-imposed pressure. Now, I performed well under that. In a lot of ways, it probably was an unsustainable thing if I continued at it at the level that I did for a long time, because it's stressful. You have to get it done. But I chose to do that, number one. But a lot of times we create in our mind these deadlines. And these deadlines, again, it's back to, is the deadlines you're imposing on yourself, if they're not external, as in you have a job and they're telling you have to have it done at a certain time, you're like, I don't know how to do this, and there's a lot of pressure, and then it gets into mind trash and self-talk. But to the degree that you're just going, I'm not good at this yet, you know, I need to be better at this so I can get paid to do this in the next 2 weeks. It's like, well, that's self-imposed, right? That's something that you are creating on yourself that is not, as I said earlier, empowering. Right? We want to constantly empower ourselves, not disempower ourselves. So the people we surround ourselves with, the content that we watch, the things that we say to ourselves, the things we write, and when I say the things we think, you're going to have a default way of thinking up front. This is why I think that, you know, what I've found is that, you know, the greatest brain surgeon can't do his own brain surgery, and the greatest tattoo artist can't tattoo their back, as far as I know, right? So when it comes to all of this, this is where I believe someone outside of you who is looking to find your blind spots, who is looking to ask questions and see things that potentially you can't see on your own. So a person who's pessimistic will tend to have a more challenging time finding the flip side and making things more optimistic. So a lot of the work that I do is pointing out and bringing awareness to the language and the words and the way that we speak. Because once it's in your conscious mind, when you say those things, you can start to catch them. But by default, if you're a pessimistic person tending to say negative things, then you're going to default to that. And that will, positivity, optimism, seeing things through a different, you know, filter and lens will not be your automatic. You're going to have to constantly catch these things, rephrase them. It's like you're an observer of your life. You're going to have to catch these things, flip it, and do that over and over and over and over and over again. And so that's the kind of tips and tricks right now without more context that I would share is you've got to watch the language. You've got to watch the words. You've got to watch the content. You've got to watch the people that you're surrounding yourself with so that, again, you're not ignoring reality. People with ADHD, it is more difficult. You know, I was just watching somebody talk about like dyslexia and ADHD and reading things. They were talking about how, you know, doing certain things for us, the average person, it doesn't take a lot of energy. But then for us, the same thing that somebody can read in 30 seconds might take us 3 or 4 minutes and takes a lot of energy. Not even this, the time it takes us, but the energy that it takes us to do it. So it is more challenging. That's why I am constantly looking for ways to kind of optimize my energy, right? And so, for example, something like Speechify is something that I just got, where it is highlighting the words and reading the words. They've got great voices on there, because I find I have a really hard time reading things. It takes a lot of energy for me to read. So I like to listen to things, but when I can listen and read, it's really powerful. So Speechify takes anything pretty much everywhere and turns it to basically an audiobook. And so what's really powerful about that is something for a long time with me, and in that post I talk about the Red Sea. So reduce, eliminate, delegate, collaborate. So for example, I can get in a flow state and have an activated brain when I'm writing something. But when I go to edit that same something, my brain deactivates. And so for me to get it done, I either have to go screw it, post it. I've had to collaborate some with ChatGPT. That can help, but I can get into some loops in there where I just keep refreshing and changing things. So it's like at times for a long time, I just had to post because I wasn't going to edit it. I just wasn't going to edit it. If I wanted to make an impact on someone, then I would just have to post it or else it would never get posted, right? And I have a big mission of people's, you know, dreams not dying in their hearts, their heads with hard drives. And so even for me, I'm with doing this right now, I am practicing not trying to overanalyze and overthink how I'm recording this piece of content. Because the young me just did anything and everything and didn't think there's a right or wrong way to do it, right? Versus you watch all this YouTube content. How do you make YouTube content? How do you grow a YouTube channel? Well, it's like you got to have this particular intro and outro and this graphic and this thing and say it this way and music and length and cut and do this and do that. And what it can do, especially for somebody with ADHD or neurodivergent, is it can prevent them from doing it at all. And so many times we don't even get started because rather than just going, I want to work out and then going to the gym or going some push-ups or whatever, like for me, you know, I ride on my stationary bike for, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5, 8 minutes. And then I do some push-ups and I do some curls. But I used to even say, I got to do 30 or I got to do 10 minutes. Now I just go, I just do it. And so it's so much easier for me to just do it than it is to overanalyze. Well, I don't really have 25 minutes today. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. So rather than put these self-imposed, because that's what they are, self-imposed limitations and going, I should do a certain amount of reps, a certain amount of time, a certain amount of this, a certain amount of that, I just do it. And so the ADHD brain sometimes, the more it knows, the more it understands, the overthinking, overanalyzing is the brain's way of keeping it safe. Because when we've done certain things or we know certain things, we think, well, I don't want to waste time doing that if it's not going to work, if it's not going to matter, if it's going to fail. And if you think you're going to fail, you won't keep going. So if I want to go work out and I think, well, I've got to take a shower, I've got something afterwards, I got to get clothes prepared, I got to do this, then if I don't want to take a shower there, I don't want to be seen, you know, naked by other people, and you go through this list of things, before you know it, what somebody could keep simple and just go to the gym, do the thing and leave. We've analyzed like 75 steps and it's just exhausting before we've even gotten started. So what I'm even practicing in public here right now with content creation is getting back to the groove of just MIA, massive imperfect action, right? Not putting all these, and it takes a practice because the default is still to get on here. And I know so many things and those things can be an advantage when I'm helping someone else. But like the tattoo artist and the brain surgeon, for myself, it can be very challenging because the problem is nobody is I have to catch these things myself versus somebody else catching it for me. Right. I.e., when I coach somebody, if you were to work with me and send me stuff, then you might speak for 8 minutes and say something and it just flows out of you. And I might stop the audio at 1 minute, 2.5 minutes, 4.5 minutes and identify these phrases and these things that are being said that now I can bring to your awareness that just came out of you. Well, that can be hard to do yourself until those trigger words and those things start to pop up. You're like, oh, I'm saying that again. Oh, I'm doing that again. Stop doing, you know, give yourself grace. I always say give yourself grace rather than, you know, disgrace yourself. But that's a powerful thing, right? To be able to start recognizing where are you having these self-imposed rules, deadlines, and different things that are harming you. You know, I know that this will make an impact on someone. And why I love having an individual or somebody either sending me an audio or leaving a comment is because I know the probability is high, at least that single person will be benefited by it. And I know that that's going to be part of the thing for me to maintain content and maintain things that are public that can inspire people is the more I do things, the more people there'll be to do that and the more I'll do it. And then I just surrender and let go of all these magical other ways that you're supposed to do it. Because I always keep saying, just because it's better, if you won't work it, it won't work. Just because it's better, if I won't do it, it won't work. Right? So if my goal though is to have people leave me comments, I have to show up. Up front, I might be showing up and no one's there to show up to, right? And so, but I've got to do something. And so right now, I've blocked how many people are on live because it's easier for me to do this as a live than it is to do all these other things, put it in editing software, get it to somebody else. So right now, I create this as a live. But I don't want to see how many people are on because it triggers me to go, oh, well, if there's nobody on, I'm wasting my time, why do it? So I block it. Because I know somebody's going to hear it. I know somebody can benefit from it. And the more I show up, the more people will show up and the more I can do my thing, right? But keeping it simple, finding my way. So in the world of programming, design, photography, videography, you've got to find your way. You've got to experiment. You've got to explore. You've got to try things, test things, tweak things. I always say the MIA process is think about it, but then you got to test it, tweak it, and potentially toss it, right? And the more you can iterate through that cycle of kind of learn, test, learn, test, learn, test, then you'll grow. And what I found is that in the beginning of my career, I did that very effortlessly. But the older I got, and now I think that, you know, sometimes I'm a human guinea pig, but the reality is I've gotten to a place where now I recognize that, you know, you mentioned some of your dad, you mentioned therapy, you mentioned, I think, trauma in here. You know, the thing is, all these things stack. And that's what I found, because thank God I had a solid childhood. But, and then I really went up in my business. Well, that was fantastic, except for it put me on top of a mountain, having not actually struggled that. I didn't struggle in a deep way to get to my initial success in my video production company. But in a lot of ways, I struggled a lot in my coaching business. And so even though I had more knowledge, more connections, more success, all these things, and that's even more demoralizing at times when you have that much stacked in your favor, and then you're not having the success. But what I realized is there was death, there was business partner issues, there was relationship issues, there was all these different things that had stacked, and I call them stove moments. So every time we do take imperfect action and we test things, we explore things, something happens. It's neither good or bad. It's typically neutral. And then we give it a charge, right? So most things, and our charge is a default. So we're going to default to a positive charge or a negative charge. And some people default to a neutral charge. Everything that happens will default to a different charge for different people. The same thing could happen to 20 people. Some would deem it positive, some would deem it negative, and some wouldn't care. So you've got to see what are the things that trigger you, and are those things positive, negative, or neutral? And then once they happen, can you flip them to something that's more empowering? And so you have all these stove moments stack, all these little traumatic, micro-traumatic, big traumatic experiences, and they stack no matter what it is, good, bad, or indifferent. And it shapes you. But for some people, and what happened to me, it shaped me to a person who, rather than taking imperfect action, got kind of paralyzed in my action, massively overthinking all my actions, the MOA. And so even though intellectually I knew better, I knew different, I knew I could do different, I've had to consciously overcome that which is holding me back that I know different. So I know I can just get on here and do my thing. I know that that's the best way for me to win, but my brain is telling me otherwise. My brain says, well, you've already done these things. They didn't work. So why do it again? But I'm a different person today than I was yesterday. I'm a different person today than I was 6 months ago, 5 years ago, right? So every day you're feeding your mind new and different things and you're growing. But if you latch too much, because I can talk a lot about the past. For a while, I talked about past through negative. Then I talked about it through positive. But the positive I talked about was what I had and what I don't have now. The problem is that can program me to believe all that I want and all that I quote unquote need or desire was in my past and not my present. And then I keep getting more of a present that doesn't have what I want. So recognizing that, you can look at the past through a place to learn, but you can simply know that I'm moving forward and I'm making progress each and every single day. So like right now, that's what I'm doing. Each and every single day, I'm testing, exploring, experimenting. I'm getting on here. I've got an answer here. I've wanted this. I've been talking about it. And I'm like, you just got to keep showing up. The comments and questions will come. You got to keep showing up. The questions and comments will come. A question came. One question. Here it is. Boom. Do it more. More will come. There will reach a place. So this is the story that I'm telling myself. There will reach a place where I will have more people sending me audios and comments than I will ever know what to do with. There will be more demand than there is supply. And I will always have an abundance of people to be able to individually support, because one of my missions on here is to provide hope, but simultaneously to do hope as well, which is to do helping one person every single day, right? Hope, help one person every day, right? So if I can get on here and have somebody who's submitting an audio, who's leaving a comment, something that I can get on and I can respond to, I can react to, I can endlessly do this. But I'm not going to go on here and think, okay, well now, how do I perfectly make an intro based on what this person says and make graphics and say it in a particular way and say it in under 10 seconds and do this? Because I'm being an example of imperfect action. That works for me. For some people, what you're wanting to create, you know, may require that. Or it may not that it requires it, but you may want to do that. I know people that would cringe at doing things the way that I've done it. Right now, my production company, right? Yet I succeeded. Because I believe the only way we can do is the thing that we're willing to do. And if you won't do it, then it doesn't matter. And so it doesn't matter if highly editing these, adding a bunch of graphics, adding all these other things, and adding an intro and you know, planning this particular video for 3 hours will get it millions of views. If I won't do that regularly, then it doesn't matter. I have to do what I will do regularly. That's how I can win. If you wanted to lose weight, you don't find the best, craziest way to do it that can get it done in a month and then do it and then go back to all the old habits that you had because you're like, well, I achieved the goal. Now I'm good. I lost the weight. I did the thing. I hated every minute of it. So now your brain's like, that sucked. And you want to default back to what you did before. And then slowly but surely you put the weight on, and then slowly but surely you creep back. Actually, you brought up weight. So I'm getting triggered. You know, I'm getting downloads, if you will, of something from that. But like, that's the thing, right? And I've done that in my life. I've cycled all over the weight from like I've probably averaged 155 to about 190 since 2000, maybe 10. And in recent times, I typically haven't gotten above about 174, 175. Usually right now for me, about 165 to 170 is probably where I'm sitting the majority of the time. But the point, I started this year going, I want to lose weight. I've hit my limit, right? After Christmas and the holidays. But what was I going to do to lose the weight again? I was going to do it through deprivation. So what I found is I do not want to deprive myself anymore of things that I love. I just need to moderate. So can I eat a full tub of ice cream 7 days a week, multiple times a day? Which I've never done it to that extreme, but I've had pints of ice cream or half pints of ice cream in evenings, multiple times a week. Probably not. And then not do anything and not move and not exercise and not plan on putting on any weight. Probably not going to happen, right? But I can sit here and I can practice a little bit more control. So rather than deprive, I was going to deprive myself. I already knew what I was going to do to lose 5-10 pounds in the next 30, 60, 90 days. So not going to have carbs, not going to have pasta, not going to have bread, not going to have, ice cream, not have cinnamon rolls, not do any of these things. And over again, my behavior is when I do that, I lose the weight, no problem, right? And then what happens? I go back to the things that I like because I want them. So rather than not have them at all, and that's what the ADHD brain can do sometimes, that's what my brain does, is it does things in extremes. So I'm all in or I'm all out, right? So I'm either going to eat whatever I want, however I want, whenever I want, in whatever amount I want, or I'm not eating it at all. Well, that serves a purpose. But for me, that behavior is like constantly being a sprinter, right? I'm looking at what I'm doing here in decades, not days anymore. I'm looking to create something that I don't want to retire from. I'm looking to create something that I can see myself doing day after day, week after week, month after month for years. Not something I have to force, poke, prod, push, and be hell on earth for 6 months to get a result in hopes that I get an outcome that I can end up not doing what I did to get there. And so I go, I don't want to lose the weight through deprivation anymore. I want to lose the weight through simply, and for me right now, it's a maintenance. And so I've been a lot better. You know, I'm not pounding down tons of stuff every single day, but I'm still getting some of my ice cream. Went over to my parents' last night. My dad made his chocolate chip pan cookies. You know, I just didn't eat the entire thing at one sitting like I could. And so that's how I'm operating in business and life now as much as I can, is not this all or nothing thinking, but rather simply, how can I find the way to maintain? How can I find the way that's going to work for me to continually do this day in and day out? Because you're going to have these patterns of all in and then all out. And it's absolutely exhausting to live that way. Because again, I've been that sprinter in my life and it gets some incredible results. Absolutely does. It does not mean I'll never do that ever, but I want my natural, ongoing, regular behaviors to be something that has a little bit more moderation, a little bit more consistency, and recognizing when I'm going into those black and white, you know, very this or that, either or, all or nothing mentalities, and going, how can I pull back from that? How can I make sure that I'm not simply going into this extreme state? Because I know what it's going to get me. The worst thing we can do is never learn. And I'll be honest, you know, shorter memories, man, sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to figure it out. I got to have something happen 27 times. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. I've been doing the same thing for 10 years. So it's getting faster and faster at recognizing that. But you know, it's only been in the last few years of the diagnosis of ADHD and even attempting to seek out support from people who understand ADHD, who understand neurodiversity. That's been game changer. And I haven't worked with that many people yet who get our brains, who don't tell you, you don't need glasses anymore, right? Because that's been the problem. Talking to people who don't need glasses, metaphorically speaking, and them telling you, you don't need glasses. And then me thinking, well, you're smarter, wiser, better, this, and, you know, putting these people on a pedestal. And again, metaphorically, we wouldn't do that with our glasses. We wouldn't have people tell us these are the best shoes on planet Earth and they're a size 8 and you wear a 14 and you wouldn't, you keep trying to ramrod your foot into the 8 shoe knowing you weigh 14. But in business and life, those things that are a little bit more invisible and less tangible, we're doing it all the time, from content creation to business creation to our careers, all these things. We're doing things that it's the equivalent of somebody telling us to not wear glasses when we need them and then not wearing them, or telling somebody that they should wear this size 8 shoe when they wear a 14 and then believing that they can still fit their foot in it. We wouldn't do that there. But we do that when we're creating our careers, when we're creating our businesses, when we're creating our lives. And we need to start catching those things and realizing, who are we getting advice from? Do they understand me at all? Like right now, I still don't have enough to really get that personalized, customized advice to this person. But there's still enough that I'm just letting download that'll probably be hitting, that'll probably be clicking. And there's probably someone else that this will click for, right? But to me, to really custom tailor, I got to get in there to that person individually. And so again, if you need any help with that, don't hesitate to reach out. Leave me a comment, send me a private message, go to themindmechanic.net and reach out. I'm here to help. I would say tuning up hearts and minds one at a time, so dreams don't die on hearts, heads, and hard drives. I'll help you overcome the overwhelm, the overwork, the stress, the feeling of stuck, the confusion, be seen, heard, and understood, so you don't feel anymore like, you know, being an outlier, an outsider, you know, is a bad thing. It can be your biggest competitive advantage, but if you keep fighting who you are and trying to be something that you're not, it'll continue to be a struggle. So I want to help you be more of who you are. I don't care what you want to do. I only care what you want to do. So my friend Gillian, I hope that's helpful. Anybody else? Appreciate it. Don't forget to leave your comments, engage, and I'll potentially do one of these for you. So rock and roll. Have a great day. And we'll talk soon.